Morning, got both side. It's a very sad day for all of us here. And it brings to mind the story many years ago. Here's a famous story. After the Six-Day War, everyone flocked to the Kosel, Kosel Maravi, the first time in so many years was not with us. We had no access to it. And everybody came there crying, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there was one soldier who was standing there crying, tears, boiling away with tears. And you know, a non-religious, totally chiloni soldier who had no shaykhist, anything that we know of as being a Torah, was crying away. And after he finished, someone asked him, says, "Why are you crying? What does it mean to you? What does a kosel mean to you? You're not a religious Torah, observant Jew. You're not learning Torah. What does it mean to you?" And his answer was, "I'm crying because I don't know what they're crying about." I think it applies to many of us here also. You know, our Bayim teach us, tell us, and we hear all the news reports. Terrible, sad day for Klal Yisrael, and many of us are wondering, okay, very nice, I understand, a big tzaddik, a big Talmud Chacham, Hashem took him from us, and we lost him, he's not here anymore, but it's a sad thing, but how does it affect me? What should I feel as a person sitting in Miami, or New York, wherever you are, even the people in Bnei Brak, okay, they lost their rabbi, they lost their teacher, they used to see him, be inspired, but how does it affect someone? Maybe New Shalayim, or for sure Miami, or New York, and America. What does it mean to me? How should I feel? Why is it such a sad day for me? I have my friends, I have my rabbeim, I have my rabbi, I have my parents, like, so what? When we speak about Rav Chaim, Rabosai, how do we speak about him? How do we relate to him? And to tell the famous grasshopper story, many of you probably heard of it. Rav Chaim was sitting by the Shabbos table, just made Kiddush Friday night. His window was open right in back, and there's a window open in back of him, and all of a sudden, a grasshopper jumps in through the window, lands on the table next to him. Rav Chaim gives it a look, you know, looking it over, I don't know, a couple seconds, a minute, whatever it was, and it jumps back out the window. I'm like, the people in his family says, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you staring at these grasshoppers for? And like what? And he explained to them that he was learning the sugya of kashrus, of animals, of little shirotzim, and he couldn't figure out certain things about the grasshopper based upon his physical anatomy, how it was made, how it looked. And Baruch Hashem helped me, and the grasshopper flew in, landed there, jumped there, I looked it over, now I understand. Rabosai, who? They don't say that story about me or you, Rabosai. It doesn't happen to me or you. How do we speak about such a person in a different world, different planet? You know, people came to him for advice on everything, whether it's financial advice. Should I have an operation? Should I marry a certain person? What business should I go into? Everything. Everything in the world, they came to him. Why they come to him? Because they knew he had a pretty good track record of giving good advice. And that's not, it's not halacha, it's not the Shulchan Aruch, it's not the Basar v'chol v'shayla, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. They made a siman Kol HaTorah Kula every year of Pesach. You know what Kol HaTorah Kula means? It doesn't mean, you know, the Shas. It means Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medras, Sifros, Sifri. I'm not sure how far it goes, but it's way past what we call a siman Shas, Rabosai. How do we relate to all this? How does it affect us? How does this loss, how does this passing affect us, Rabosai? It doesn't make any sense. The truth is, there's a lot of answers to that question. I'll share with you a couple of them, but it's important for us. You know, Rabosai, we take for granted, you know, we're healthy, we have parnasa, our families, our parents have parnasa, Shiva's parnasa, Baruch Hashem. We have intellect. Did you ever think of why we have that Rabotai? Why we're Zocha to have it? I'm not a Navi, I can't tell you exactly what goes on in Shemayim, but I can tell you one thing. If you noticed in the Shemona Esra, we daven every day. I don't know if I ever bothered you, but everything is in plural. Hashiveinu avinu l'sorosecha, chaneinu mitchadei abinu l'haskel, give us, not saying, not give me, give us brains, dei abinu l'haskel, intellect, understanding, logic. Bring us back to your Torah. Give us a refuah shalema, refa'enu, borech aleinu, give us parnasa. Both say, Reb Chaim Davin for Klal Yisrael, when he said those words, you know, he davened with all his kavana, every ounce of his brain power and emotions went into that, those words, he davened for us. Our refuah shalema was because he was davening, at least partially, our davening. And Klal Yisrael's davening, your chaverim's davening, your parents' davening, or else he was davening for us. It wouldn't be an understatement to say every single person here is affected and has good health and has parnasa and has brains partially because of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Shmar Yosef Chaim Kanievsky. Our health is because of him. I shared recently one time the story I heard, I shared with some of the Talmidim here, Moshe Feinstein. One time, Calvin Winters, I saw Rabbi Winters' uncle. He one time went to the daven. He davened early. He went to Moshe Feinstein. He wanted to see how he davened, and he noticed. He sat next to him, pulled up a chair near where he davened, and he saw how he started davening Shmon Esrei. Took a couple minutes, whatever, the first bracha, which is crucial to have kavanin. Then he moved along at a regular pace till he got to Rofa'enu. When he got to Rafa'enu, right, he spent the amount of time he spent on that one bracha because of the long lists of names he had, because of his love for Klal Yisrael, people who were sick, who needed tilim, who needed special tefillos. He spent as much time on that one bracha as the rest of the whole Shmon Esrei. Was a tzaddik, a gadol, someone who feels the achrayus, the yoke. I say the word yoke with emphasis. You know, I can't imagine how a gadol lives his everyday life because he bears the burden of Klal Yisrael on his shoulders. People come to him with the tzaras, with the parnasa, with his health, with his family issues. He davens for them. Reb Chaim Kanievsky both said, daven for us, daven for you, for all of us here, for the rest of Klal Yisrael. So Reb Chaim's not davening for us anymore. He is, but in a different world. I can't tell you how that works. But we're missing his davening. Rabosai, his chusim he generated, the mitzvos, the Talmud Torah, the chesed, everything he did, Rabosai, has chusim manifest itself in results for Klal Yisrael. You know, the famous chazal, I think Rashi brings it by Avraham Avinu, when the malachim came to visit him when he was sick after the bris milah. It says, b'schus chema v'chalav, because of the fact that Avraham Avinu provided with his emotional concern and love for someone else, chem of a chalav. What is chem? Butter and milk. He gave his guests butter and milk with hearts, with heart, with feeling, with concern, with love, with care. He wanted a mahana them. You know what Klal Yisrael got because of that? Years later, 40 years of man in the desert, in the midbar. 40 years of Balsai. What a, the way a gadol does a mitzvah and the ramifications it has for every one of us. Again, I say, we have parnasa. Why do we have Parnassar Abosai? I can't tell you exactly, but there's no question. Our Gedolim and we ourselves all chip in. We daven for Parnassar. The mitzvahs that he did, the chusim he generated. Yukach no ma'ayim, Rashi there brings, right? He asked for water. He got water for them. You know what we got because of the water? The Be'er Shel Miriam, the well, Miriam's well for 40 years in the desert. We had water because of his mitzvahs. Reb Chaim's mitzvahs are both say it's incomparable. You can't imagine, it's hard to imagine every second of his life with his mitzvahs, with his Talmud Torah, with his chesed, advice he gave to people. The hargash he had of doing a mitzvah with his lulav and esrog, with tzitzis, I can't describe Reb Chaim, but that's, we're missing those mitzvahs, those chusim Reb Chaim. He was the Urim V'Tumim. You know what the Urim V'Tumim is, Reb Chaim? Times of the base of Mikdash, when anyone had a shayla, whether it's the God of Ador, with the president, with the defense minister, the head of the army. What should we do? Should we wage war? Whatever Shiloh was, a political Shiloh. They went to Urim V'Tumim, they asked the Shiloh, and they used to light up. And the answer is, we don't have an Urim V'Tumim on both sides. Our Urim V'Tumim is our Gedolim, whether it's Moshe Zasal, whatever it was on both sides. The Chaim was our Urim V'Tumim. Everything went to him, every Shiloh on both sides. And again, we're not talking about just halacha. I'm not talking about Basar B'chol Shilohs or Hilchos Shabbos Shilohs. That goes without saying, Rabosai. But all the Hashkafa, the Das Torah was from him, Rabosai. From him. Blessed Neres Yisrael, the whole world, the whole government was guided through the firm representatives we have about army Shilohs, about who knows about gay rights Shilohs, about do you participate in the government? Do you fight the Arabs? What do you do? Everything, Shaduchim, Parnasa, everything was from Reb Chaim Rabosai. He was our teacher and affected us in America. Everything, he was the person who taught us how to respond to all the issues of the day on both sides. He was the one. We lost our Urim V'Tumim. Those are all things that we have to feel sad about, our achrayus. But I think there's one area which I think is above all that. It's hard to say but this might be the main thing. You know, we know the famous pasuk Koheles Tovu Eches HaBeis Avel. Shlomo HaMelech says it's good, it's better to go to the Beis Avel, to the mourner's house, you know, Eches HaBeis HaMishta, rather than going to the house of a party, of a simcha, V'chayi Ten Libo, and the live person will take it to heart. And the Yalkut Shimoni over there says, you know what that's referring to? What's the Beis HaMishta that the pasuk is referring to? We're not talking about a party, someone's birthday party. Or of course, you know, it's not such a great thing, or it's not such an inspiring thing to go to a birthday party. Bar mitzvah, okay, a little more chashev, asiyim hashas, gevaldik. The pasuk is referring to, says Yaakov Shimoni, to the party that Avraham Avinu made for his son Yitzchak. B'yom Higomel as Yitzchak, when he became of age, he was self-sufficient a little bit, he became a little mature. They had the bris earlier, and he called all the gedolei hador together, all the gedolim shame. Aver, all the Gedolim were there. That was the party that the pasuk is referring to. And it's better to go to a Beis Avel. And it says, well, who's the Beis Avel? When Eov was sitting Shiva, and people were not the biggest Gedolim. They went to him, they came to him, they sat Shiva with him, they were inspired. And it says, the Medrash says, Nidchum Migehenim, and they walked out because of their visit to Eov, when he was sitting Shiva, they walked out, and I guess their lives changed, they were inspired, they were saved from Gehenna. There was Zohar through HaKodesh, it says, because they went to the base of Arbosai. The key is to derive, to focus on yourself, be inspired. It's your job, Arbosai, to use this opportunity, use this situation to be inspired by who Reb Chaim was. And of course, in the next couple of weeks, Arbosai, the next couple of months, you'll be hearing oodles, tons of stories, dozens and hundreds of stories about him. And your job, Rabosai, our job is to be inspired, take it to heart. You know, I heard a beautiful voice over Shabbos, and I think it's true. Yes, the Kasha, we just finished. We said Al Nisim, Al Purim. We talk about about the Al-Nisim in Chanukah. There's Mosarati brought me Chaloshim, Rabbi Ma'atim. And it says, Al-Nisim, the Al-Purkan, right, the miracles and the freedom, Al-Gavuros, Al-Shuos, Hashem saved us, the Al-Hamil-Chamos, and the wars. What do we thank Hashem for the wars? What's so good about a war? A war. Okay, the Nisim is understandable. The Gavuros is great, the Shuos is salvation. Al-Muhammad, why are we saving and thank Hashem for the wars? What was this war? Who wants war? War is a terrible thing. Terrible thing, the war. What is war all about? So the person I heard, he said, I think it fits in nicely, Muhammad means the challenges that wars provides for us. When a person goes through a war, Rahman al-Islam, he sees devastation, he sees people hurting. How do I respond when I see such things happening? Do I give up hope? Do I have kindness to Hashem? Do do I get upset and angry and forget about Hashem's in charge, or I'm a chazik myself and I walk out a stronger person because I recognize I had to fortify myself and talk to myself and think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there for us and he's in charge. That's mochamos, opportunity. Opportunity is the best thing in the world on both sides. We have, as long as we're alive, till 120, we have opportunities to grow from everything that happens. Chaim is nifta, we have to grow. It's an opportunity for us to go ahead and machazik, become a bigger Ben Torah. Everything we learn from Chaim could be utilized in a positive way. And I heard recently, we should know, you know, you think, Rabbi Naaman, come on, Reb Chaim, this is no shaykhis to us. You tell me stories of Reb Chaim, but it doesn't apply to me. The Stipler, who was Reb Chaim's father, said about his son many years ago when he was a chashev, a Talmud Chacham, but he wasn't Reb Chaim that we know of at that time yet. He was a big Talmud Chacham, he was a big Masmid, he learned a lot, he knew Torah, made numerous humor at that time. He said about his son, my son might be the tremendous Masmid, I think he might be the Masmid Hador, he might be, but he's not going to become the Gadol Hador. He's not the Gadol Hador, he's not the Das Torah of the Dor. He's not of that caliber. Both sides. I can't say it, but you know, he was wrong. The disciple was wrong. He was proven wrong. You know, it wasn't his mistake. You know, but Reb Chaim overcame. He wasn't a natural. You know, the Vilna Gaon finished Shas when he was 6 years old. Not Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim did not. I think it was when 16 was the first time he finished Shas. Okay, he wasn't a born genius. He was a smart guy, but he wasn't with all the kalkos that the Vilna Gaon had. He wasn't that type of person. He was someone who embodied Yogata Umasasa Tamin. He surprised his father, as I was saying, right? His father didn't make a mistake. He didn't judge him wrong, but he never realized that he wasn't a Navi, I guess. He didn't realize his son would steig so much from his kochas, from his hasmada, from the hard work he put into it. Chaim was self-made Rabosai. He's a Das Torah of the generation, the God of HaTorah. Unpredictable. Everyone knows the famous, I guess people think of it as a joke, famous Buha. You know what Buha is, right? They're both saying. It was Reb Chaim's abbreviation for the words Brocha Slachi. He had all these people coming to him for Brocha, you know. Instead of saying Brocha Slachi, he made up this little tiny made up word Buha, right? Brocha Vaslacha. But you think he was a lazy guy, didn't want to talk so much, or, you know, he had a good chap, a good, nice, poetic thing. No, Reb both. It wasn't because of that. Because he was chas on every second of his time. If he was able to shorn from the brocha v'aslacha to buha, I can't even measure it, you know, a split to half a second, whatever it was, okay, obviously multiple times over, but that's how much he cared about his Torah learning, his time. At both sides, we're blessed with time. We have so much time in our hands at both sides. We have to inspired. We might not become Rav Chaim. We can become inspired, become better people, bigger masmidim, more careful about how we use our time. You know, Reb Chaim never sat shiva numerous times in his life, for his parents, for his wife. Sat shiva when he got up. What was the first thing he did? What was the first thing he was concerned about? He had to make up the chovos that he missed. You know what chovos is? You know the word chovos means? It's obligations. You know what that means? He had, and he termed it my chovos, my responsibilities, which meant, as we know, I think it was seven blood a day, whatever the exact number, I think it was to finish Shas in 1 year, to finish Kol Terakua. I don't know all the numbers, but those were his chovos. And he sat shiva for 7 days. He couldn't learn for 7 days. So a normal guy would say, okay, I couldn't do it. You know, it's not my fault. What did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, Hashem wanted me to shiva. Hashem told me not to learn. But he felt such a responsibility. That was my job. My job is to go ahead and learn the seven blad a day with the Midrashim, Yushami, whatever it was, Rav Hosai. He had to make up those chovos, and he had to do the current chovos also. It was double the amount. He missed, 49 blad in the last week, plus Midrashim and Yushami. I can't count all that. But that was his responsibility, Rav Hosai. You know, people always ask me, we used to ask Rav Shiva all the time, you know, what should I learn? How do I do Navi and this and that? You know, all the different things I should learn that. I have no time, Rav Hosai. Chaim taught us, if there's a commitment and a desire and a recognition of what we want to do with our lives, we'll find the time. We'll find the time. They say, on a more humorous note, you know, he had a hard time, it seems, finding a shidduch, you know, until he eventually married his Eishes Chayil, or Yosher's daughter. He had a hard time, different girls, or read to whatever the story was. I don't know too much about the details. But when he was read to this, to Yosher's daughter, he was in Yerushalayim, he's in Bnei Brak, so the arrangement was, he was supposed to, she was going on a bus to go from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, and he was supposed to go pick her up and meet her at the bus station in Tel Aviv, and then bring her to Bnei Brak, and whatever happened, go out. So Governor Kak in the morning was supposed to be there, she's supposed to come with Governor Kak on the bus, and he gets there 10:30 in the morning early to make sure he's on time. She gets off the bus, doesn't see any Reb Chaim. She's okay, I'll go straight to the house. So she took a bus to Bnei Brak, got to Bnei Brak, you know. She goes to the house, and the stipler father asks, like, where's my son? Like, what happened to my son? He wasn't there. I don't know. He wasn't there. I didn't see him. So the stipler gets on, takes a taxi, whatever, and goes to Tel Aviv. And he looks for his son. He sees his son sitting down someplace, you know, harving like in the middle of first Seder, in the middle of Yeshiva Panovich, wherever it was, you know, like oblivious to everything that's happening around him. And like he didn't see him. He was a little, I guess, in the corner over there, and she didn't see him. But he was so, I mean, he went to the purpose of meeting her, but he was so, I mean, it's not a concern about it, it's just his commitment, his connections, his commitment to learning Torah was beyond our sagas. And again, our both sides. Doesn't mean we have to become like him, but we could, if we think about who he was, what he stood for, our both sides. We can go ahead and emulate him on a different level, a different Reagan. His love, his recognition. Look who he became, Rabosei, the God of Ador, the Baal Mofes, people are saying. It's a Baal Mofes, and all these wondrous things, miracles. Especially for us, Rabosei. They say his father, you know, a parent usually learns with his son before Bar Mitzvah. You know, whether it's a Mishnayis, whether it's he wants to make a Siyamon, and Brachas, whatever, Sukkah, whatever it might be. And he learns, makes a Siyam, works with his son. And, you know, I know from my experience, I try to pick an easier one, you do a Mishnayis Moed, it's easier than Zeroim, okay, fine, you pick something which is appropriate, right? You know, disciple learned with his son, they're both saying. You know what he learned with him? Before Bar Mitzvah, he learned with him, he said, I want to pick the hardest Masechtas. Why? Not just a challenge, you know, not, why is it the hardest Masechtas? Not that some can say, why we're in Zchulun, not we're in Zvachim, you know? He picked the artist because Reb Stipler knew Girsa the Yankisa Lo Mishtachay. You know what that means? What a person learns when he's young, you don't forget it. Chazal bring a mushal, it's like a piece of parchment. You have a fresh new parchment, whatever you write on it, absorbs it very well. You can see it, but take a used parchment that was used many times in those days, they used to reuse the parchment. It doesn't stick so well, Reb Stipler. It doesn't absorb. Reb Stipler, you guys, I don't know about me, but you guys are in the gears of the eye, because whatever you learn now, you'll absorb and you'll remember so much more than you'll remember what you learned 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. Now's the time, Rabbi Osai. If I heard myself, you know, I learned the Megillah, I just chus to learn the Megillah in the Yeshiva. I didn't spend too much time. You know why, Rabbi Osai? If I would have to learn it now, it would take me who? Hours and hours and hours. I remembered because it was gears of the eye, because when I was 15 years old, I learned it, Rabbi Osai. You guys have now, today, tomorrow, this year, next year. Gears of the Yankisa. He learned the hardest Masechtas, so he shouldn't forget them. He should know those Masechtas cold because he learned them when he was young. And of course, depends what your surroundings are. You know, we can pick our surroundings. We can't pick our parents. We can't pick our certain things, but we can pick our friends. We can pick out where we hang around. Reb Chaim was surrounded by his parents, his stipler, his uncle, the Chazon Ish, and they provided a very special environment. They say that the stipler was the tzaddik by Reb Chaim's bris. Why was he the tzaddik? Usually you mechaber someone else with the tzaddik. It's a big kibbutz. You want to mechaber a close family friend or a rav, a talmud chacham. You know why the stipler took the tzaddik himself? Because there were a lot of gedolim at the bris back in Europe still. I think it was the Minsk gedolim was there, some other gedolim, big gedolim were there. The disciple said, I can't pick one over the other. I can't do it. What am I going to do? I can't say, I'll give it to him. What about him? He had 3, 4, 5 gedolim. I can't pick one over the other. He took it himself, not because of covering for himself, but he He was sensitive to people's feelings of Boshai. When you grow up and you're surrounded with such lessons, living lessons of sensitivity to chesed, for rachamim, for sympathy, for all the above are both sides. Makes a difference. And we can do it on both sides. We can't choose our families, we can choose a lot who we surround ourselves with. The stipple also, and that's right, but the stipple was Reb Chaim when Reb Chaim was a baby in his crib or cradle, whatever it was. The stipple was busy learning in the main room, in the dining room, I guess, was in his house. And his wife was sleeping in the bedroom with the baby, with Reb Chaim. So, I don't know if you ever heard, but they used to have, there was a string attached to Reb Chaim's foot. I'm sorry, attached to the stipple's foot, which was attached to the cradle. Whenever the cradle, whenever Reb Chaim cried as a little baby, so to make sure, the stipple to make sure his wife wouldn't wake up and would be able to sleep, which she needed to take care of the baby all day. So he used to pull his foot, you know, and shake the cradle from I don't know, 10 feet away, whatever it was, you know. Now, why did he do that around both sides? Okay, I would say, tell my wife to take care of the baby. I'm busy learning, I'm making parnasa. You take care, it's your job. But that's not the stipple. That's not the home that Reb Chaim grew up in, right? Stipler taught him his concern for one's wife. When Reb Chaim's wife was nifter, they say Reb Chaim shed copious tears. You know, he was a normal person. He wasn't someone up there in the sky. He was normal. We can relate to him. His relationship with his wife was pure and holy and special. Tremendous Av of Reyes, like we have to strive for both things. You know? We have to train ourselves to be attracted to know what's chashuv. We as individuals, talmidim, we as parents, Rabbosai. They say the stipler took his son Reb Chaim to a certain gadol. I don't know who it was, a certain gadol, when he was 3 or 4 years old, and he said, "Please test him on shas." Now it wasn't the shas that you know that the Vilna Gaon was tested on, because he was too young. He wasn't that type of person. But he was tested on shas. What does that mean, shas? Because his father made sure he taught his son the names and the order of all the mesechtes. You know, brachas, I can't get too much farther. Brachas, I think it's what? The peya, the maya, the whole list, which don't ask me what the rest of them are, right? And Tanakh, and the chaf dalet sirfei Tanakh. That was his test on shas. Shas and Tanakh. He knew a cold. But the message he gave to his son, and the message we can give to ourselves, about what are we machshav? What are our values? What do we consider special? And Reb Chaim said years later, he remembers his father teaching him shas, you know, that shas, the names, and it meant so much to him years later. It taught him what is special, what is valuable in life. And both of we have to do that to ourselves. Surround ourselves with proper people, proper rabbeim, proper chaverim, proper maybe talmidim, proper dolim. We have to aspire to this. That's what we can learn from Reb Chaim Rabosai. Rav Ruderman Zatzal, someone just told me this morning, Rav Kier told me this morning, Rav Ruderman, after Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov was nifter, they both nifter in the Tanis Esther, and 2 weeks later, 1986. So the next Zaman, after Pesach, the summer Zaman, the first shmuz Rav Ruderman gave was, he said, Rabosai, this is going to be the toughest Zaman that we ever had, this new coming summer Zaman. What do you mean? He said, because Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov, when they were here, their hasmada, their Torah, they learned, they brought down the machadish, they brought down for Shemayim, made it easier for us to learn. Now it's a little bit harder, okay? Because we don't have Reb Moshe's Torah, we don't have Reb Yaakov's Torah, but so we don't have Reb Chaim's constant learning, which made it easier for us to learn. But that's our challenge. That's the mochamos, that's the war, that's the, we have to be inspired to, we have to be inspired by hearing and trying to apply, and not just hear a story in one ear out the other ear. We have to apply it to ourselves, try to inspire ourselves. We should be Zohar Rabosai, to be inspired every day, a little more. Because Chazal tell us, Yogato Masas Atam, and if we work hard, and we try, and we apply the inspiration we hear from all the stories, whether it's to Asmada, whether it's to Chesed, whether it's to Emes, whether it's to Siyat Yishmaya, Muna B'tachon, whatever it might be, whether it's learning Musar, if we do Rabosai, there's no Shaila, Yogato Masas Atam. On the other hand, Rabosai, Chazal will tell us also, Yogato Masasi, if a guy says, you know, Torah is not such a hard thing to do. And you have to work so hard. I coasted through high school, coasted through Bismedish. I was a brilliant guy. I knew all Chazal, Gemara, Pilbushim, whatever, you know. And I'm a big Gamda now. You don't believe him. It's not possible. Okay, you want to become a Gadol HaBosai? It takes harvanya, it takes work, it takes focus, and above all, it takes inspiration. We should be zocha to follow in his ways, each one according to his own madrega, and the source of his inspiration should have an effect on us for many, many years.